This morning, I'd like to share something that's very paramount when it comes to giving and receiving. You know, we're in the midst of learning one of God's most powerful principles, which is giving and receiving. And why don't you go to Genesis, by the way? One of the critical keys for this principle to work, as well as anything in God's Word, is believing, right?
Mm-hmm.
All these wonderful promises, all the great principles in God's Word come to pass as we believe them. Hebrews 11:6 talks about without faith or believing, it is impossible to please Him, to please Him. And, you know, the one word that I feel that really explains, if I had only one word to define believing, I would choose the word trust. You know, if you believe somebody, you trust them. You trust that what they're saying is true or right, and so trust is a wonderful aspect of, an important aspect of giving and receiving. You know, when you look at the title of our series here, what is the title? Trusting God Concerning Giving and Receiving. So in learning the principles of giving and receiving, a very important aspect of that is trusting God concerning it. Is what we're hearing in God's Word, is it true? Is it right? Can we bank on it? Can we trust it? So trusting God's a big deal. And that's what I want to get into this morning, is trusting God. Help you see a little bit more of God's Word and how important it is to trust God. Let's see, you're in Genesis. We're going to get there in a moment. From the beginning of time, man's success or failure has been determined by the willingness or unwillingness to trust God. If you're not going to be successful, don't have to trust Him, right? If you really want success, we're going to need to trust God. We're going to have to get to the point in our heart that, yeah, God has integrity. He says what He means and means what He says. Perhaps you can remember Numbers 23. It talks about that God is not a man that He should lie, right? He's not a man that He should lie. He's not a liar. God tells the truth, thereby we can trust in it. And man, if we can get to the point that we hang on to that, we trust that, that we believe that, that yes, God's Word has integrity. It does mean what it says and says what it means. God cannot fail His Word. It's impossible for Him. That's one of the great things God cannot do. Lie. He cannot lie. God cannot fail His Word. He will always do His Word. We can trust in that. We can trust in that. Whenever and wherever we have God's Word, either spoken, written, or by revelation, and we believe it or trust it, that information that we are receiving from God, it will surely happen. It's got to happen. Trusting man might not work, but trusting in God works every time. Every time. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh in you, when you do what? In you that believe. Believe. Trust. Ephesians 1:19 says, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe or who trust in Him, according to the working of His mighty power? You know, the only way the devil can defeat the believer today is by seducing him away from God's Word, tricking him not to trust in the Word, not to give God's Word a try, not to say, yes, this is God's Word, I'm going to believe it come hell or high water. I trust in this word. So many times we put our trust in men, don't we? We put our trust in leadership. You know, are they going to really come through for us? And unfortunately, rarely do we see it. Or maybe we see it's more for one person than another person. So we're going to trust that person a little bit more because we see that he is right a little bit more. But God is always right. God is always right. So, Genesis, right? Genesis chapter 21. What I'd like to share with you is one of the most astounding records in God's Word of a situation of someone trusting God. And this is unbelievable here. Genesis 21. And I want to share this one verse here in verse 12. Verse 12, and this is Abraham. And God said unto Abraham, let it not be grievous in thy sight because of the lad and because of thy bondwoman. In all that Sarah has said unto thee, hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now who was Abraham looking to pass on the inheritance? To the bondwoman, Ishmael. Okay? He was the son of Hagar. So Abraham was looking toward him because he's the firstborn. But who did God have in mind? Yeah, Isaac. So we've got that established, right? So Isaac is where the seed be called. Now think about this too. He carries the promised seed of the Christ line. Isaac does. Not Ishmael, but Isaac. So who do you think the adversary is going to try to get at? Yeah, he's going to try to get it. If he could break that promised seed line, then he's going to stop God from bringing on the great realities that we have today. So let's go to chapter 22. And we're going to look at this record where Abraham takes his son to do a sacrifice. And of course he's thinking, we'll find a lamb or some animal along the way for sacrifice. But who is Abraham thinking that's probably going to be sacrificed? Isaac. Pretty wild. All right, let's take a look at this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt or prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. You know, he knew God's voice, evidently. And God called out to him. He said, behold, I'm here. And he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. And offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. So this just wasn't a neighborhood hill. This was several days in traveling. And Abraham, verse 5, said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. I mean, you wonder, who else is there? All right. I guess this is how they spoke. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? We've got everything we need for this offering, but no lamb, no animal. Where is it? Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Whoa! Now, what do you think's going through Isaac's head here? Me? Your only son? You're going to burn me? You're going to sacrifice me? Boy, think about it. Abraham is trying to do the will of God. He's trying to do what God has told him to do to his best understanding. And what he understands at this point, that Isaac, his only son, is going to be sacrificed. He's going to be burned up. That he would be the burnt offering. Boy, amazing. All right, well, let's see what happens here. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Now, I don't know what was going through Isaac's mind here, but he was right there. He obeyed his father, evidently, and he wasn't running off. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest or reverence God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Pretty amazing here, huh? He trusted God. Abraham trusted God that this was the right thing to do. And maybe he got a little off on this, didn't he? Because God did not intend for Isaac to die. That would cut off the promised seed line of the Christ, the coming Christ. So, what do you think was going through Abraham's mind? That he would actually kill his son? Why would he even do that? What was his thinking? Now, we could guess here, couldn't we? And a lot of folks have guessed to explain why this was happening and what would be going through Abraham's mind. So do you guys want to do some guessing today? What is a biblical principle as we work God's word to understand the accuracy of it? Yeah, let's look at context. Let's no private interpretation. So what can we do to understand this? We context, but what about reading on? Keep reading. I think it was at the last Labor's weekend, Reverend Ken Petty talked about keep reading, and it'll explain itself. So I know where the answer is, by the way. It's in Hebrews, and I figure we don't need to read from here to Hebrews until we get there. So let's jump to Hebrews, all right? Hebrews chapter 11. All right. So Hebrews chapter 11. You know, we don't want to guess or speculate what was going on here. Hebrews 11, verse 17, by faith or believing, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. So here, Abraham, he's in this wonderful hall of fame of believers, this chapter 11 here, and he fully trusted God. He believed God. And by that believing, by that trust, he went ahead and offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. Here was the promise. Abraham followed through. He trusted God. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. We saw that in the word. Isaac was the promised line. Verse 19, here's the answer. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So Abraham believed that if he did slay Isaac, that God would raise him from the dead. Isn't that fantastic? In working this, Bullinger, a wonderful biblical scholar, says this: Isaac was, as far as Abraham was concerned, to all intents and purposes, dead, and so became a type of Christ in the resurrection. Okay? Christ would be raised from the dead, and that's where Abraham's head was at. Isn't that fantastic? That he would so believe God, so trust in Him, that he went through all the motions, and God said, no. Let's get the animal. We want Isaac to live on. We need a Christ here in the future so that he could truly die for us and that God would raise him from the dead. So Abraham trusted God. Let's go to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. We're just looking at, well, we looked at Abraham here and how he trusted God. Great example. You and I can trust God. And that's the purpose here. We want to build our hearts to the point that we trust God for everything. Here in Psalm 119, verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. You know, we probably experience that today. Governments have persecuted me without a cause. But we won't get into that, all right? But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. All right? Regardless of all the junk going on, where was his heart at? Where did he have awe? The word of God. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Man, what an attitude of mind to have. God's word is a great spoil. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them. How? Exceedingly. We got to get a love relationship with God's word, huh? You just can't. You get up in the morning, you speak in tongues, and you can't wait to open up your Bible. You got a love relationship with God's word. I wouldn't tell your friends that at work necessarily, you know. I have a love relationship with the Bible, but maybe you should. That might be a great witness, huh? I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplications come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. See, we want to trust in God's word. We want to have such a great relationship with God and his word that we do trust him. And I tell you what, the more you have a love relationship with God's word and appreciate it and read it, then when God speaks to you, he's going to speak to you in the same manner of his word. Not that he speaks King James English to you or whatever your version you're reading, but it's the same kind of love and concern. So, I tell you, the more you get into God's word, the more you're going to get revelation from God Almighty. And that you can trust in too. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to close here in Proverbs chapter 3. This is a great section here. I think a lot of people are familiar with this section and should be, because this has some wonderful things to say that will benefit us greatly. So, chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Heart. Okay? Trust. Confide in. Believe in. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Okay? Hey, if a situation comes up and and God tells us one thing and our understanding says something else, which way are we going to go? God's way. God's way. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear or reverence the Lord and depart or avoid evil. It shall be health or healing to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine inheritance. What a great section of God's word, huh? We want to trust God first and foremost. We want to trust Him first and foremost in all that we do. And we want to trust Him first and foremost in giving and receiving so that we can live a blessed and fulfilled life. Okay? So I wanted to share that with you to encourage you to trust God more than ever before, and especially in light of giving and receiving. Okay. Well, as Jeannie mentioned, this past few days for us has been very exhilarating. Just a tremendous time being with a bunch of thousands of believers and a wonderful teacher of God's Word, Joyce Meyer. So Jeannie's going to share a little bit. Maybe some of the other folks that were there could share some as well.
Wonderful.